You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Radio.com Sports presents Big Time Baseball with MLB insider John Heyman and former Major Leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr.
Yes, indeed. John and I are back at it again on Big Time Baseball. Welcome into this week's episode. We have a lot of ground to cover. No guest today, but John and I have plenty of baseball news to keep you interested and excited about the upcoming season. All right. As always, you know you can follow myself on Twitter. I'm at Tony Gwynn Jr. John is at John Heyman. And now you can follow this show on Twitter. Follow us at RDC underscore BTB. That's Big Time Baseball. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review Big Time Baseball on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcast. John, well, lots gone on, not only in the world, not only in the sports world, but also in our country. How you doing today?
I'm good. You're absolutely right. Obviously, since our last show, we had a presidential election, and the big news today is the vaccine that Pfizer has come up with that has 90% plus effectiveness. So we're excited about that. And we had talked earlier, and you had mentioned how that's going to affect baseball and everything else in the world, assuming all goes well with that. So congratulations to Pfizer. And we're excited about the possibility of having a real spring training next year. And fans, if they get that vaccine going in the next few months, it may take a little longer than that. I've been watching the shows. I'm not a medical expert, just repeating what I've heard on TV. But it is excellent news, and feels like we are on the right track now. So thank you, Pfizer.
Yeah, you know what, John? You're right, because it's relevant, not only to our everyday lives, but particular, obviously, on this show, we talk baseball. It's so relevant to the upcoming season. After experiencing some baseball without any fans, you realize how much different it is. And really, to be quite frank, how much better it is when the seats are filled. But we just couldn't be there. But so this news, even though it's premature in terms of people actually receiving vaccines, it is a step in the right direction of some positivity that I think we all could use right now, John.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody, I think, around the world is quite excited about it. And, you know, it's certainly going to take a little while to do all the rest of the things they need to do, including the distribution. But it is great to hear today that they are on the right track. And we are very hopeful. You are absolutely right about the fans. You know, the fake fans was okay for a year. But, right. You know, I mean, can we have fake fans for 2 years? I'd rather not. That'd be my thought on that.
I'd be okay if I don't see another cardboard cutout for quite some time. All right, let's jump into some of this baseball. Obviously, I think one of the things that's taken place since our last show was the hiring of Alex Cora. He's back as manager. And listen, on this show in particular, we kind of saw this coming because of you, John. You've been talking about this for literally months, and it has actually come true. For your personal feelings, how do you feel about this? Because for me, I know personally, I'm all about people having second chances. Alex Cora, prior to this incident, had been a model citizen in baseball, and I think he's deserving. He served his suspension, which is what Major League Baseball handed. So, you know, he served his time, I guess you'd say, and he's back in the saddle as manager for the Red Sox.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tony. There was some backlash around the sport to some degree in terms of the fans out there. Not in Boston, though. They're pretty excited in Boston because obviously he was the manager for the 2018 World Series championship team He's proven to be a very good manager. He's a savant, I think. He always tells me he wasn't very book smart. He did go to the University of Miami, which is a pretty good school. He might be underplaying himself there, but in terms of baseball knowledge and the ability to make the right moves and strategy, I think Alex Cora is fantastic, and I'm with you. Second chances, I'm all for them. And he had that opportunity. We understood that when he got a one-year suspension, which is a big suspension. Some people are saying, oh, it was only 60 games, but it was a full year of suspension that he was out, that he sweated it out. I think Boston was kind to pay him through it. I don't know whether Houston paid Hinch, but from what I understand, Boston loved Cora. And this possibility, as we talked about on the shows before, was always there. I don't think it was a complete 100% thing. And in fact, in the couple days leading up to it, I heard that Chaim Bloom, the GM, loved Sam Fuld, who he had in Tampa, who's going to be a manager someday. Really had thoughts about going in that direction, but certainly the ownership, the fans, we know that the star players, including Devers and Bogaerts, at least we've heard that, were in favor of Cora returning, and it would have been difficult to hire somebody else who has a proven track record. Now we have three managers hired. It seems like they're going in the opposite direction, Tony. All three of them have World Series rings, and between them with La Russa's five, with La Russa's three, that's five. For a long time, we were getting, you know, great personalities who had zero experience, like Aaron Boone and several others around baseball. But it seems like we've, at least for this offseason, we've gone in the other direction.
Yeah, it does. And one of the things that's come up in particular with those three hirings you mentioned is some feel like these were all premeditated hires, that both the White Sox, the Detroit Tigers, and the Red Sox all kind of knew this was going to happen. Is there anything to that? And did Hinch have to be hired first, you think, before Cora, or is this just kind of circumstance?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Boston makes his own decision. It doesn't depend on what the Detroit does. The White Sox, certainly Jerry Reinsdorf made that call. He's probably had this in his mind for 34 years of regretting firing Tony La Russa back in 1986 and wanting to bring him back. I mean, they didn't really have a real search, that you would say. They did interview others. Those names did not come out. The only one I've uncovered is Willie Harris, who's a coach in the Red system and was a member of the 2005 Chicago White Sox championship team. There were others, as I said, and all teams have to interview minority candidates. That's a prerequisite. I mean, in this case, they had their man right at the beginning, as Bob Nightingale first reported. The owner wanted to hire Tony La Russa, and that was going to be it. So the other candidates, while they like them, I'm sure, are mostly window dressing. But the reality of it is Jerry Reinsdorf has such a good track record of hiring minorities, and certainly they won the World Series with Ozzie Guillen. And Ken Williams has been the president there, and before that, the GM for a long, long, long time. So, he gets a little more leeway in terms of this. It's happened before where it's just been one candidate. In Milwaukee, it happened when they wanted to hire the guy in the front office, Craig Counsell, and they didn't want to interview anybody else. And, you know, they have a discussion and figure it out. But certainly baseball in general, I would like to see them do better with minority hiring. But none of these hires, other than the fact La Russa is 76 years old, I think none of them is shocking in terms of they're familiar with these people. A.J. Hinch had some connections to the Tigers front office, and obviously Cora had just been in Boston a year ago. So not a shock there.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. They're definitely – you would like to see Major League Baseball get a little bit better with their hiring practices as – we move forward. Now, when Alex Cora was suspended, I think he was regarded as one of the top, if not the top manager in the league. Do you think he kind of falls right back into that seat, considering what we've seen over this past season?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he doesn't have a huge track record. It's only been a couple of years, but I think he's one of the better managers in baseball. I mean, I certainly put Terry Francona up there, and let's hope that he is healthy and come back after the year. I mean, Kevin Cash is Snell move, and Bobby Valentine talked about that with us last week, and he liked it better than we did. But that move notwithstanding, he's a pretty darn good manager. Bob Melvin, obviously an excellent manager in the American League. So there are a lot of very, very good managers in the American League. Dusty Baker, you know, one of our first guest, a fantastic manager, I think. So it's a deep group. I don't know if I can rank them right now, but I put Cora in that upper third, somewhere in that top five among those names that I mentioned in the American League. And I'm probably missing one or two that are pretty good as well. But it's a pretty good list in the American League.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. I asked Cora, I felt like, is one of the better managers at kind of weighing that other skill that we had Bobby Valentine talking about yesterday, that feel skill. Yep. He was very good at that also, with being able to use the numbers, the analytic numbers, to his advantage. I thought he did a brilliant job in their World Series run. So we wish him nothing but luck. Speaking of this kind of whole cheating situation, one guy we haven't heard a lot from or about is Carlos Beltran. Do you think, with all that's gone on, AJ Hinch getting another shot, Alex Cora getting another shot, do you think Carlos Beltran deserves another shot?
Yeah, whether he deserves one or not, I don't know if I would, you know, say at this moment whether he'll get one. I would say is in question. I mean, and I understand a lot of people are upset that Cora and Hinch are getting another shot, but you know, they have won World Series as managers, and Hinch certainly managed for several years with multiple teams, so he has a track record. The Beltran hiring was one of those new guy type hirings, even though he's probably a Hall of Fame player as a, you know, as a player, he's a Hall of Famer. You know, he had no experience as a manager or a coach. He was in the front office. So you have the cheating scandal on your resume with a 0-0 record. I think it's going to be tough. And beyond that, with the Mets, and this is something we'll talk about also, that cleaning house in the front office, two of the people they cleaned out, very fine baseball people, Albert Baird and Omar Minaya, those were the two that really backed Beltran. Now, they'll if they want, they'll wind up somewhere else and they'll have some influence. And, you know, maybe Beltran will get another chance. But I would say at this point, I'm not expecting it anytime soon.
Okay. Well, let's transition to the Cleveland Indians, because you mentioned Terry Francona, and obviously his star player, Francisco Lindor. It doesn't look like they're going to come to any type of an agreement, and a trade looks like it's imminent. At least before the start of the season. How do you see that shaking out?
Yeah, I'll be surprised if he's still with Cleveland. Obviously, they've talked about Lindor with several teams already at different points. We're now a year away. It's like that Mookie Betts situation where you have a top five player in the game 1 year away, and they know they're not going to be able to sign him long term. They've tried. I think the Indians, although I don't have the figures, have put in a good effort for them. But he's looking for what I was told was top dollar, which is puts him in the Betts category. I'm not sure if he'd be looking for the Mike Trout category. That might be a little bit bold at this stage, especially coming off a pandemic. Though, you know, maybe this, the vaccine, maybe Pfizer is helping Lindor out here. I don't know, but. And all the free agents, they're helping everybody out. But yeah, I do expect Lindor to be traded. You know, and it's going to be a team that's going to be able to lock him up. Whether they do it right away or sometime in the near future, I couldn't say. But you know, obviously, LA had the money to do Betts, and that was a fantastic move and a great signing. Everything good for them. So it should be interesting with Lindor. Well, we'll see. It's got to be a big market team to do it. I don't see a small market team taking a 1 year flyer unless it's your friend AJ Preller. And of course, they have a pretty good shortstop over there in Tatis. In fact, one of the best five players in the game. So I'm not seeing that one either. Although I've seen that rumor out there. You know, more likely it's going to be one of the New York teams, or you know, look at LA. They could move Seager to third base. I think that's a long shot probably at this point. They had tried for him, Lindor, in the past. I do think they'll try to keep Justin Turner, who's a free agent. Yeah, he's been fantastic for them. Obviously had a blip on the resume with the finishing of the World Series and coming out there with the COVID. But he has settled that situation. And I think Kershaw and some other players suggested to him that he apologize. I think he was going to do the right thing anyway, and he did. He's a good fellow, made a bad mistake at the end of the year, but I do think LA is more likely to bring Turner back than to go for another big piece. They'd like to keep Seager long term, and I think they'd like to keep Bellinger. Can they have four superstars on the team? I'm not so sure, but the New York teams, I think, are at least worth speculating for Lindor. I'm not sure how likely it is. We can talk about that a little bit later, but there's certainly teams that could be considered there.
Certainly seems like a fit. Obviously, some news that came across after our last show was that Justin Turner will not see a suspension and they will just move forward. He did issue an apology, as you heard John mention. So hopefully he can move forward. We'll see how that situation kind of unfolds. Let's move to the American League East, John, and the Blue Jays, a team that seemed like on the come up this year. They make it back to the playoffs, although they get swept in that wild card round. Do the Blue Jays feel like this is the year they can turn the corner and really surge forward as a ball club, you think?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely on the come, as you mentioned, Tony. I think they feel like they're 2 years away from potentially having sustainability, and they are going to spend. You know, we're looking for teams that are going to spend this year. There are a lot of teams, I think, in this situation of uncertainty plus lowered revenues from last year that will not spend. Oakland, and I would add Texas, but I'm sure there are probably a dozen or more teams that are really going to be cautious. But Toronto, I think, kind of showed their hand a little bit, bringing back Robbie Ray, who really had consistency problems last year. He was much better with them than he was with Arizona for $8 million. That's a pretty substantial amount of money. It shows, I think, that starting pitching is still going to be valued no matter what the market is like. But I think it's Toronto's hand that they're in it to win it, at least in a little way. We will see. My understanding is that they will be looking at center field. The Blue Jays are going to look to get a center fielder. And George Springer and Jackie Bradley Jr. are the two names that I hear. And I'm not going to swear they're at the top of the list, but they're on the list. Sure, they have made contact with Springer and Jackie Bradley Jr. And that's clearly a position that they will look at. And then, of course, the Grichuk could play the corner and just strengthen the outfield overall. They had a lot of guys step forward this year, including Teoscar Hernandez and some others. I think Bichette's going to be a star. You know, obviously they were losing VR also, so they could look in the infield. They're hopeful that Vlad Guerrero, who switched over to first base, will be able to play third. The reports are he's lost 30 pounds, and they'd like him to play third. But if not, you know, they may look at short or third. I'm not sure that they would switch Bichette to third, but you never know, I guess. And maybe they could look at Lindor. I mean, they're a big market team. They've got money, and they certainly have the connection there. The link is there with Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins in charge in Toronto, both coming from Cleveland, and they've made deals with the Indians before, and so I can't rule that out. But the news out of Toronto is that they're going to spend, and they are looking at Springer and Jackie Bradley Jr.
Yeah, it seems like now is the time to start insulating those young stars. You mentioned Bichette, BGO, Guerrero. It's time to start insulating those stars, those young stars, with some veteran guys that know how to wing ball games. And I think you'll see that team take the next step forward. How far in that division, that remains to be seen. Now, the other team in the Yankees, you mentioned two New York teams when it came to Lindor, and I'm sure a lot of people heard that and are thinking, well, don't they have Gleyber Torres at short? Does it seem as though the Yankees may be trying to move on from him? Or what's the thinking there, bringing Lindor when you already have Torres?
Yeah, I think their option is they could move Gleyber Torres to second base. And, of course, they are trying to re-sign LeMahieu, no question about that. And he'll turn down that qualifying offer or plans to. But they would like to keep LeMahieu. But LeMahieu could switch to first, and maybe they could trade Voit. They have a lot of options there. They're definitely looking at short. There's a million things to consider. Not saying it's a great chance. People in New York are really downplaying, at least the Yankee people, Lindor possibility, but because they've said that they're going to cut payroll. So it does seem like that would be not that likely, but they'll certainly look at it, I'm sure. But I would say at the stage they're at, they'd like to keep LeMahieu, and then I think that they would look at adding a shortstop. Gleyber Torres is a great offensive player, did not have a great year this year. They're hoping for bounce back, but in terms of being a shortstop, he's not, you know, in the upper echelon on defense, shall we say. So, you know, they are looking at the other guys that are out there. Simmons, they've contacted Andrelton Simmons. That's a guy they've liked for a long time. He was obviously with the Angels, and Billy Epler, who had come from the Yankees. Cashman and Epler agreed on that. They've tried for Simmons before. They looked at him at the deadline. So that's a possibility. And, of course, with Didi Gregorius, who's a free agent now, was their guy, and they liked him very much. He did a good job for them, and he did a good job for Philly. So that's another consideration. Those are, to me, more likely than Lindor, but I'm sure wouldn't be shocked if there's a lot of discussion of Lindor with the Yankees and a lot of publicity about it. If the trade actually comes to fruition, I'll probably be a little bit surprised, though.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. And we've seen Gleyber Torres play second, and he did look pretty good over there. Wouldn't be a bad move if you bring in somebody like Lindor. It does give you options. However, DJ LeMahieu needs a position to play too. So we'll see how that kind of all rolls down. All right, let's slide to the National League East, where the big news is obviously that Steve Cohen gets cleared to take ownership of this New York Mets team, and within hours, he completely guts the whole front office. Tell us about some front office names that are linked to the New York Mets.
Yeah, I'm not a shock at all. Sandy Alderson is now in charge, and I don't think Alderson, he was watching what they were doing. He's been with Oakland the last couple of years since leaving his Mets GM job, kind of being forced out of it. So he now gets a do-over with money. The first time he was with the Wilpons, who were hamstrung, I don't have to tell Mets fans this, by the Madoff situation that occurred in 2008. It hamstrung them for a long time. Now Steve Cohen comes in. He is the richest owner in baseball. I don't have his bank account on me, so I don't know exactly what he's got, but the reports are $15 billion. So we can expect to see the Mets do some very interesting things. Who will do them? We will find out. You know, hopefully in short order. They've got to fill out an entire front office now, and Sandy Alderson is tasked with that. As we mentioned a few weeks ago, John Rico, who was in the baseball end of the front office for years and left and moved to the business side when Brody Van Wagenen, the GM who was just removed, came in. To me, that's a possibility. And then there are guys in Oakland. Billy Owens is a guy who's been mentioned. He interviewed with the Angels and is very well thought of and certainly knows player talent. And there's other guys out there that could be considered. I'm not seeing J.P. Ricciardi or Paul DePodesta, who did work for Sandy in New York the first time as a GM candidate. DePodesta very happy with the Cleveland Browns. I think he prefers football from what I hear. And so I don't see that happening. We will see. I also wonder about the manager there. I don't know. What do you think? Luis Rojas had 60 games. It would be almost unfair to make a change, but you're bringing in a new general manager, and obviously the Mets underperformed badly this year. And, you know, it's hard to blame him, but, you know, this is the big city, you know, and the trend has been – I don't know that Sandy follows trends, but the trend has been to – get experienced guys, and they should have a team that's ready to win, particularly after they do everything that they want to do this offseason with getting big players, including, I think they're going to certainly make a push for Real Muto. We'll see if they're able to sign him, but the players that are out there would fit them. You know, obviously, Bauer could fit anybody. Springer would fit them in center. Real Muto would fit them. I don't see LeMahieu moving across town. You know, and I'm not sure Ozuna is a fit for the Mets. They got a million corner outfielders, but I see them doing big stuff and expecting a win. And I know Sandy knows Luis Rojas. He worked for him for 8 years with the Mets, but, you know, he's got 60 games as a major league manager. What do you think of that, Tony? You think it feels like they're going to move on from him, but they haven't said yet.
I mean, usually it depends on where ownership, especially when you get new ownership in. It depends on their urgency and when they want to win. And it feels like Steve Cohen is ready to start doing that now. Now, on the flip side of that, Luis Rojas, as you just mentioned, John, does have a relationship with the front office there. So with Sandy Alderson. So this one could be a 50-50 toss-up, but as you said, most of the time when new ownership comes in and new front office comes in, that doesn't usually bode well for the manager. We'll have to sit back and see how it goes.
Yeah, it's bad timing and bad luck. I mean, same with Brody Van Wagenen. I know some of the moves, certainly that Seattle move, I thought was an overpay. I mean, looking back at it, even though Diaz looked good at the end of the year, to have all that money, and Cano, and I think they figure they're going to have a DH in the National League within a couple of years, probably. But, that was a move that really looks like mostly negative at this point, even with Diaz looking like the reliever they'd hoped last at the end of last year. You could take a ledger of the moves and say maybe they were mostly negative. But, I think most GMs get 5 or 7 years, and Brody Van Wagenen did have a 4-year deal, so we're not going to take up a collection for him or feel too sorry for him. But it was kind of a tough deal for 2 years. And the same would be true of Rojas if he only got 1 year. I think that if they did move on from him, they'd like to keep him in the organization if they can.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's slide into the left side of the infield market. You got the shortstop market. You got the third base market. Let's start with the shortstop market. What are the big names at shortstop that you think could help a team right now?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously Lindor is out there on the trade market, and then you've got Simmons, Didi, and Galvis, a free agent. So it's a pretty good shortstop market. We all look forward to next year when it's Story and Seager and Correa and Baez and Lindor. We're going to be free agents, but this crop is decent, obviously, with Didi, Simmons, and Galvis, and Semien. I shouldn't leave out Marcus Semien, who wasn't, in this pandemic year, wasn't even offered the qualifying offer when in any other year he would have been. So there's a nice variety of free agent shortstops out there, and Lindor certainly at the top of the heap with a year to go, so as a trade candidate. And we talked about the Mets. It would be interesting to see. I know a lot of Mets fans are clamoring for Lindor. They have two shortstops right now. They have Ahmed Rosario and Andrés Giménez. So, obviously Lindor is better. But, looking at it, I think their need is more at third base. And I have heard that from some people in the Mets front office. Now, these are just holdovers. The new people are going to be the ones in charge. So I wouldn't swear to what they're doing. But, in a way, Nolan Arenado, who is clearly out there on the trade market, might be a better fit for the Mets. J.D. Davis did a nice job filling in and at third, but ultimately he's more of a hitter than a third baseman. And so I think that there's a good chance that they will look at Arenado as well as Lindor with the Mets. One or the other. I don't think they're getting Arenado, Lindor, and Real Muto, but if they got one of them, that would be great for the Mets fans who've been starved for some big signings. And if they got two of them, wow, that would be pretty damn special.
I got to say, in regards to this shortstop market, it may not have the star power as next year's market will, but these guys have turned themselves into some steady ball players. You mentioned Didi Gregorius over the last 4 years. He's been one of the better shortstops. Marcus Semien has proved himself in that same kind of cut from that same kind of cloth where they're just steady. And I think they'll help a team no matter where they end up going. Obviously, Lindor in the trade market kind of speaks for himself. He's probably the cream of the crop in terms of this particular shortstop group. But certainly are some guys out there that can help. All right, let's slide over to third base market. You just mentioned Nolan Arenado. And although he's not a free agent, he is available on the trade block, it seems, who are the other third basemen that could help a team right now?
Yeah, I mean, Arenado has got a year to go before his opt-out, and he's got a no trade, too. So he's got a lot of good stuff for him going on that contract. Unfortunately, the relationship with the front office and Arenado is still not great. They're still at odds. Arenado thought they would try more in terms of spending, and he probably is a little upset about the fact that he didn't have a good year, even after getting off to a good start. He felt that he was led to believe that they were really going to go for it. So, I'm not sure if that's repairable. It might be, but he's clearly out there. I mean, Nolan Arenado is as out there as Francisco Lindor is. So at this point, I think he's going to be traded. And the fact he has a no trade just gives him power. It doesn't mean he's not going to be traded because at this point, I think he wouldn't mind being traded. So We probably have to look at the Dodgers, right? I mean, that's the place he probably wants to go. He is from Orange County there. And also the Angels, which is in Orange County, even though they say the Angels of L.A. or whatever they say, Los Angeles Angels.
I'm still confused on
that. Yeah, I don't know. They transitioned. When I covered them, they were the California Angels. That'll just tell you how old I am. But they are in California. I know that. They're not technically in Los Angeles, but they certainly are close. And, you know, it's a wonderful city. Probably not as beautiful as San Diego. You're San Diego, but it's quite a beautiful city, too. So, you know, I understand why they want to claim L.A. Probably has more to do with money than beautiful. But anyway, Arenado would be a fit because, you know what? Arenado's a better – I'm sorry. Arenado's a fit with the Dodgers, not the Angels. I was thinking Lindor more with the Angels because Lindor, obviously they have to replace Andrelton Simmons with the Angels. And any of those shortstops could be a fit with the Angels, and they certainly want to win. They have to get a GM first, but Simmons is gone there now, and I think they'll look at Didi and Semien and the others. But Arenado would be a fit with the Dodgers. He could be a fit with the Mets, as I said. He's one of the best players in the game. The other guy on the third base market could be Chris Bryant. I do think the Cubs are going to look at trades for him. Obviously, he had a down year. It's be selling low, so I wouldn't say that they're definitely going to do it. That's something that they will consider, I think, more than some of the other things. The other players that have been mentioned, I see Bryant potentially. And the other Cub that I could see them potentially looking at dealing would be Wilson Contreras, who was a Gold Glove finalist. He does some things really well, certainly a great talent. Certainly the Mets are going to take a look at him, and other teams that need a catcher will take a look at Wilson Contreras. As long as we're on the Cubs, I will mention I think that Javier Baez is just beloved by the organization, and even though he had a down year as well. A lot of people had a down year. We've talked about this before. A lot of people had a down year. I don't think they're going to hold it against him. I think they're going to try to lock him up if they can. They were going to talk about it last spring, but obviously we got interrupted by the pandemic. But I'm not giving up on that Arenado Dodgers, although I do think it more likely would be Turner. But yes, with the Angels, right, they have Rendon at third, of course, and shortstop is what they'll look at.
I would caution all organizations out there that are putting that last 60-game season up on a pedestal to not do it, because there's so many more games left in a regular baseball season that could have been turned around, like we've seen a lot of these guys do. So I just think you can't put a lot of credence in the numbers for the 2020 season. All right, let's go to the qualifying offers, because John, there's been a lot of them extended. Trevor Bauer, JT Realmuto, George Springer, DJ LeMahieu. Do you anticipate any of these guys accepting the offer?
Bauer, Realmuto, Springer, and LeMahieu all will turn down the qualifying offer. That's their plan. Rachel Luba, the agent for Bauer, has made it clear that Bauer will not accept the qualifying offer. Of course, Realmuto, Springer, LeMahieu, such good players, real talents, and they should get big-time deals out there. No question they will not accept the qualifying offer. And, of course, there are two other guys that received the qualifying offer. To me, Marcus Stroman's the interesting one. That could go either way. And then Kevin Gausman with the Giants, he's got to accept it, according to everybody in baseball. $18.9 million. I mean, Kevin Gausman is a good pitcher, very solid guy, solid pitcher. But that's a lot of money. He really is not in any position to turn that down. Stroman's an interesting case. I personally think that he's probably going to turn it down. So I think the Mets made the right move, and he'll probably go out there and shop. What would you do if you were Marcus Stroman? I mean, Bauer, Realmuto, Springer, LeMahieu, they're pretty obvious. They can't accept a one-year deal. They got to go out there and get a big deal. I mean, Bauer's talked about maybe doing a one-year deal, but I'm sure he's thinking about $40 million or something like that, not $18.9. What would you do if you were Marcus Stroman?
That's a good question. I would keep my options open. It's hard when you bring in new ownership, new front office, to all get on the same accord in the very first season. It usually doesn't work that way. And if Marcus Stroman is trying to win and win now, I may decline the qualifying offer and look elsewhere. It sounds as though he wants to be a Yankee really, really bad. We just don't know if the Yankees are willing to go out and spend that kind of money. But there are certainly a lot of teams that we saw in the playoffs this year that could use an arm like Marcus Stroman. And
yes, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I agree. You know, I think there'll be a market out there for him. I was surprised at first that they did it. I think they did the right thing. We're not sure whether it was the front office that left or the front office that's coming in, or meaning Sandy, because we don't know who else is coming with them, but or a combination discussion. I think they did the smart thing to offer it to him. I do feel like it seems like he'll probably turn it down and, as you said, keep his options open out there. It does feel like he wants to be a Yankee. I think you've read the situation exactly right, Tony. I don't think the Yankees are going to be interested in Stroman.
Yeah.
Starting pitching is not in bad shape on the other side of town. They're going to have Herman coming back. They're going to have Severino at some point coming back from the Tommy John. Obviously, they're going to lose. We think they're going to lose Paxton and Happ. They're going to probably try to keep Tanaka. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. They may have room for one starting pitcher, but you know what? When he was traded to the Mets, the Yankees showed no interest. So, he hasn't done much since then. He pitched a little bit for the Mets, did not pitch this year. He rehabbed. He now has enough time to be a free agent, which benefited him, not the team. So, I think the Mets expect him to turn it down. And, they definitely need pitching. There's no question about that. But I wonder, I don't know this, but I wonder if there's some hard feelings from people. And I guess they'll get over it about the fact that he rehabbed it. And then when he had the enough service time by rehabbing, then he opted out. Now, maybe he just made that decision late. I don't know. I don't know that he had it in his mind the whole time. But, and there was nothing wrong with opting out. But to rehab to get the free service time and then opt out, you wonder if he just had it in his mind the whole time. And I wonder if there's some hard feelings there. I know there are with the Jays, because on the way out when he was traded to the Mets, and I don't know if it was because he expected or hoped to be with the Yankees or someone else. He is from Long Island. You didn't think the Mets would be so bad, but he was quite upset from everything I hear that he was not happy and said so in the clubhouse in front of the whole team, that he was not too happy to go to the Mets. So maybe it was a Mets thing and he never wanted to be there in the first place. And that would kind of lead me to think you're probably right, Tony. You're probably calling this right.
Yeah, it does. It just seems like he is on, like he wants to see what's out there. And the thing about the Mets is I think it's a great idea. You offer, especially when you look at the circumstances and it does look like he's going to turn it down, you get those picks because of it. But on the flip side of that, if he decides to stay, you've got another arm that can help your ball club. So I think it's a win-win for the Mets either way. All right. We've covered a lot of ground on today's show, John. We've reached the end here finally. We'll be back again next week as the hot stove starts to warm. It's not quite hot yet, but it's on its way to being. And remember, you can follow myself on Twitter at Tony Gwynn Jr. You can follow John at John Heyman. And now you can follow this show, Big Time Baseball, at RDC_BTB, Big Time Baseball. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review Big Time Baseball on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Until next week, for John Heyman and myself, Tony Gwynn Jr., we'll catch you next week on Big Time Baseball.